Well, God makes us to know a lot of things. And here's the thing. One time Elijah, back in his day, really got carried away. And I don't think he meant to act like he did. But anyway, he got kind of carried away. And he said, Lord, he said, all of the prophets are gone. And all of the people of God are gone. And he said, ain't nobody here but me. The Lord said, now, Elijah.
Yes.
Said, there's 7,000. You just hadn't been looking around. There are a lot of folks. I said, there's 7,000 that never has even bowed their knees to Baal. 7,000 of them. And here you are talking about you being the only one. Well, remember, Paul said, and even so in this day, there is still an election according to grace. Isn't that wonderful? That if there are 7,000 back there, Brother Bobby, there's still some around today, Paul said. So I'm persuaded to believe that even though we have great leaders and even though our great leaders are doing great things, yet there's still somebody outside the great leaders that are around, and they're sons and daughters of God. And we might think that they're not living right. We might, you know, sometimes us preachers have a way of going around and measuring everybody by our own selves. And when we get through measuring, because sometimes our ways are crooked and not straight, then we measure everybody by our own selves. And when we get through, we feel like they're just out of sorts because they don't measure up to us. But that isn't the way God measures folk. He measures them by the word of God. And it doesn't matter what Brother Pike thinks about you. If God says you're all right, you're all right. If you measure up to the word of God, it don't make no difference what I think about it, because he's not going to judge you according to what I think about it. He's going to judge you according to what the word said, Brother Jimmy. So that's what's important. Now then, we're glad to have Brother Malinowski tonight. He and his wife, they said they didn't know about the services, and maybe they could have been here a little bit with us had they have known. We're very grateful to have them, and some new faces back here, and all the others that's been so faithful. We're glad to have them tonight, and wish we had 10,000, but Jesus said that this is a tight way. Straight is the gate, narrow is the way, and few there be that find it. Broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and they'll have great revivals, he said. So I guess we just have to go along with what we got. Praise the Lord. But I'm glad that there is a remnant according to the election of grace. I'm just so thankful to be here in the presence of God tonight and in the presence of the saints and try to be able to do what little I can. Now then, we realize that each one of us is a member of the body of Jesus Christ. Now, if I'm up here preaching, then that means that Jesus is in me, and the mind of Christ within me can speak to you according to how far along I've gone in the mind of Christ and how much I've matured in the mind of Christ. Now, if you're up here speaking, then God can speak to us according to the mind of Christ, for his mind is within you too, just like it is me. I'm just another member. Brother Branham was just another member. Jesus was the head. So now then, if I'm up here tonight and I'm speaking, he can do it. If you're up here and you're speaking, he can do it. But he has to do it according to your maturity in the mind of Christ. For the Bible said, the Holy Spirit speaking, he will bring to your remembrance whatsoever things that I have taught you, or that is whatever you've been acquainted with. So it depends on how much we've been acquainted with, how much we've been away and talked with the Lord. A lot of people, you know, they love to talk with men, but I don't care too much about talking with men. Now, if Christ is speaking from within them, then I love to commune with the Christ within them. But I don't, somehow or another, men don't fascinate me. Paul said one time he went over to the Council of Jerusalem and talking with other men around the country that he met, he said, these men add nothing to me. And I feel the same way, that men add nothing to me. Now, if Christ speaks from within them, then they add something to me, and I get something to go along on. But men with their intellect and all of their PhDs in philosophy and all that, they add nothing to me. I don't get anything out of what they have to say. But if a man speaks to me in the name of Jesus Christ, and he speaks to me according to the word of God, then I get a lot out of that. So tonight, I tell you, just as I've said so many times, we come together here, and whatever we get has to be from the mind of Jesus Christ, which knows all things. And it also has to be according to your drawing on the mind of Christ that's in the member that's speaking at that particular time. Now then, you remember the little woman, how that in the days of the Lord Jesus, how that when Christ was walking the shores of Galilee and healing the sick, opening the blind eyes and unstopping the deaf ears, you remember how that the crowds flocked around Jesus. But everybody that came to Jesus didn't get anything from Jesus. For he said, it's not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord, shall inherit the kingdom of God or receive the blessings of the virtue of Christ. But he said, it is he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And so then when all the people gathered around Jesus, a lot of them never touched the God within him. They were looking to his own personal individual. Now I said here the other night, the same thing happens year after year, and history has a way of repeating itself. And when God gave Martin Luther a revelation, instead of looking to the revelation, a lot of them looked to Martin Luther, and they finally congregated with the Lutherans. They came on down with the Baptists and the Methodists and John Wesley and done the same thing, all of them following the same pattern. And now that the prophet has gone off the scene, they've done the same thing. They formed a little group and they said, this is it, and we got it. You don't do it this way. We've drawn up our discipline. We've drawn up our doctrine. Ain't nothing else new. They said that when Martin Luther went off the scene. Ain't nothing else new. But the Bible said, I will do a new thing, saith the Lord. And the Bible said, his mercies are new every day. Praise God. And God is still doing a new thing in the earth. So then, we have to do like the little woman did that came to Jesus. We have to lift up our faith in God. And whereas the rest of the people can't seem to get a hold of the Holy Spirit, we have to draw the virtue right out of the member of the body that's speaking. So I ask you to work with me tonight. I remember the prophet when he was here, his privilege to be in two or three of his meetings. And one thing the angel told him, said, if you can get the people to believe. And I especially remember how that he encouraged faith, and I've seen him come out on the platform when he did not pray for a single individual, but go right back. Because faith wasn't there. And I've also seen him when he'd come out, and when faith would be high, and he would encourage the people, he'd say, now this gift can't work unless you draw it. That's the way it is with the body of Christ. I don't care what gift it is, whether it's knowledge or wisdom. In Brother Branham's life, it just so happened it was the gift of knowledge. But no matter what gift it is, you have to pull on it. You have to pull on it, and that gift will work. So then, if we want anything from God, let's remember to look beyond man. This is just Brother Pike tonight. Don't mean a thing. But look beyond me tonight and look toward Christ and realize that either the Lord Jesus lied when he said, I'll put a fivefold ministry in the church for the perfecting of the saints. Or either he meant that within that fivefold ministry there was something that God could give unto you and I. So then either he lied or he told the truth. How many believe he told the truth? All right, I represent Christ tonight just as a member. I'm here. Now, I believe this. This is my conviction that the fivefold ministry is the five senses of the body of Jesus Christ. That's what I believe. You've got five senses to your body. I believe the fivefold ministry is the five senses of the body of Jesus Christ, that through these five senses, God or heaven or the angels communicate with the inner man through the medium of these five senses. And by the medium of these five senses, you become acquainted with God and with the heavenly world, and you know what's going on inside of the kingdom of the living God. I believe that. So I ask you tonight to let's get into the Word of God and let's draw. This is the last night of the meeting, and I have a lot of things on my heart. Jesus said one time, I have many things to say to you, but you're dull of hearing. And I've often said that it seems to me that I'm dull of hearing. Though I know he's got a lot to say to me, I'm kind of dull of hearing, but I want to sharpen up my hearing and be ready when Christ comes. Now, let's say this tonight, that a lot of people, I've expressed it before, a lot of people say, well, Brother Pike, in the last days there's going to be a famine for the Word of God, and we won't have the Word of God. But the Bible didn't say there'd be a famine for the Word of God. There's no Bible that said there'd be a famine for the Word of God. Jesus didn't say that, nor did the prophet say that. To the contrary, he said, it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, that I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. There's no famine for the Word. But he said, I won't have any listeners in the last days. said there will be a famine for the hearing of the word of God. And certainly, if there's a famine for hearing, it's no wonder that Jesus made the statement, "Shall I find faith on the earth when I come? Nevertheless, shall I find faith on the earth when I come?" It's no wonder he said that. If hearing is the source of the medium by which we receive faith, then faith is going to be at a low end. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You can have the word of God, not hear it, you won't have any faith. And in this age, we're come to the Laodicean church age, which is a sleepy, tired, worn out people. I'm not critical. I know that saints of God, some of them are worn out. The Bible said Satan would wear them out. But did you know a lot of people are not worn out because Satan wore them out? They're worn out buying new cars and new homes, and Pharaoh's got them bound until every time they go to serve God, the devil says, "Why don't you just double up on another job, buy you another car? After all, you need two cars anyway. Who doesn't need two cars? I can use 15. Anybody that loves to always have a new car and a new home, they're just, I'll tell you what they're like. They're people that just skip along the edges. They just hit the edges like a surf rider, you know, riding on these surfboards. You've seen them down at the ocean side, no doubt. They just kind of hit the top of the waves. But the Bible said to lunge out into the deep. And it said the Spirit of God searcheth out the things of God, yea, the deep things. When Jesus came in his day, I remember he didn't have no trouble out of the worldly people. God said, whether you are hot or cold, if you want the world, go get the world and leave the church alone. But the trouble he had was out of those who had altered the law, had changed the word of God, and the scribes, which was the writers, and the Pharisees, which believed in the resurrection. They had gotten together and they had made so many alterations in the word of God that God gave to Moses, that when the word was made flesh and came and stood and expressed itself to them, they didn't even recognize it. Brother, I'll tell you, if there ever has been a repeat of history, it's in the hour in which we live. God has given us the word, but the disciplines and doctrines and ideas of man-made theology and denominational world has changed it around so much, until when the Spirit begins to speak the word, somebody can't even recognize it. And they fight the word of God. That's where we're living. Who do you have trouble out of? It's the surf riders. It's the surf riders. They never get deep enough to really get the revelation, so they're always causing trouble. But people who go on with God become a blessing to the Lord. All right, if you've got your Bibles, turn with me tonight over to the book of Revelation. I wished I had a whole month to do nothing but speak from the book of Revelation. But it's so beautiful to me, and it's so rich. And when I go to preach a sermon, there's so much revelation that's in my heart till I hardly know where to start. And tonight, I'd love to speak to you, if God will anoint with spiritual revelation tonight. I'd love to speak to you as unto spirituals, that they who are strong in Christ might receive the meat of the word, that you might be able to grow thereby. All right, notice in the book of Revelation, now I might read two or three places here, I don't know, but one place I want to read here, if I can find it. I thought I had it marked. Might take me a minute or two. I got one place marked, but I thought I had the other one marked. Yep, here it is here. I got it marked. All right, notice this now. Reading in the 9th chapter of the book of Revelation, and I want you tonight to pull with me, or to push with me. I make the statement sometimes, you know, like when I was a little country boy, we used to go down in the woods and we had to ride a two-horse wagon sometimes to town to get the groceries. But I know that we could sit on the back of the wagon, and while the horses and mules was pulling the wagon, we could drag our feet along. But I've made the statement that if you drag your feet and make it hard on the horses, you'll just wear out your soul. So the thing to do is not to drag your feet, but push and work with us. That's what we want you to do. All right, in the book of Revelation in the 9th chapter, 8th chapter it is, he says here, reading in the 8th chapter,
Start here at the sixth verse and read on down. And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood. And they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of trees was burnt up, and all green grass was burnt up. I want to say this just before I read anymore. Now, if you come here tonight to see who I preach like, I'm going to tell you before I start, I don't preach like nobody. I just preach like God tells me. So if what I say don't agree with you, just measure me by the Word of God. If it don't agree with somebody you think it ought to agree with, just measure me by the Word of God. And I'm a firm believer. I believe I ought to say this. It comes to my heart. I'm a firm believer that there's none other name given under heaven whereby we might be saved. And I believe that I could call your name all day and say, Mike say, Satan, I cast you out in the name of Brother Bobby. But I don't think he'd leave, do you? I don't believe he would. Brother Jimmy might say, Satan, I cast you out in the name of Brother Pike, but I don't think he'd leave. And Brother Malinowski might say, I cast you out in the name of Brother William Branham, but I don't think he'd leave. But I think if we all got together and recognized what God was doing and say there's salvation in none other name and we're to have no gods before him, all of us could call the name of Jesus. I believe the job would get done. So then, I don't preach like anybody, but I just try to tell the way I understand it and the way the Holy Spirit gave it to me. Paul said I wasn't taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ, neither received I it of men. So I just got what he gave to me, and that's all I know to give you, and I have to say it the way I understand it, because when I stand in the judgment, God will hold me accountable for the integrity of my heart. If I told the truth, then all right. If I haven't, I'll have to answer to God for it. And I think the worst thing a man could do is go through this life and try to be a Christian or preach God's word, and then find the way to find out that he had been playing around on God and wasted all of his substance like the prodigal son. So then, reading on a little further, let's start back here at the seventh verse again. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of trees was burnt up, and all green grass was burnt up. And the second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea. And the third part of the sea became blood. And the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died. And the third part of the ships were destroyed. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp. And it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. And the third part of the waters became wormwood. And many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars, so as the third part of them was darkened. And the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound. Notice here in this eighth chapter, reading here, John being caught up in the Spirit, into the mind of Christ, he began to see things. Now, I want you to remember, the Bible said we know in part, but someday we're going to know in perfection. We just know in part tonight. And if you receive one revelation, that's part. If you receive five revelations, that's part. But if you can receive the revelation, that is not part, that is a vision. The Bible said without a vision, the people perish. Sometimes you can see a part of anything and you've got a revelation. But if you can get all the parts together and the Holy Spirit can start a chain reaction, then that is not a revelation. That is a vision of the eyes of understanding, whereby you see God working in the same manner that Christ spoke of his heavenly Father working. He said, I do always those things that I see my Father do, because the eyes of his understanding was enlightened, and Christ had comprehended the depths, the heights, and the widths, and he watched the Holy Spirit, and whatever the Spirit done, he also done the same thing. So then, here John was caught up into the Spirit, and he gets a vision. It's gone beyond revelation. He gets a vision. And here as he sees the vision, the Bible said that he saw a great star fall from heaven. How many of you remember in our teachings a few nights ago how that we taught that stars represent angels? And the Bible speaks of the fallen angels. And here John, God knowing that we were natural men, wanting to hide this thing from the eyes of the wise and prudent, he liked the spiritual world. He likened it unto the natural world. And instead of telling John spiritually, knowing that John could not understand it, he taught John according to John's understanding. He told John according to his education to where he could understand it. Jesus always taught that way. And he still teaches that way. The mind of Christ comes to me tonight, it will teach you the same way that it did when he walked the shores of Galilee. When he would meet a farmer, he did not talk to a farmer about bricklaying. If he met a bricklayer, he did not talk to him about carpentry. But he knew what the man's spirit and mind was occupied with. And so it was that when Jesus began to speak to them, he always spoke to them according to their education and according to that which was closest unto their heart. So that if he met a farmer and he wanted to get the revelation over to the farmer, knowing that all the invisible things of God are understood by the visible, the mind of Christ took the shortest cut to that man's heart. And he would talk with the farmer, and he would tell him, he would say, "Say not 4 months, and then cometh harvest." But he said, "Look on the fields, they're white unto harvest already." And he said, "If you reap down the harvest, God will give you a wage for it." So it is when he'd meet a carpenter, he'd say, "You're God's building, built up into a holy priesthood, a habitation for God." Whatever he was in life, whatever his occupation was, Christ would take that and go right down to the spiritual heart or the spiritual core of that thing, and he would talk with them about God. So then, here God is speaking to John, and he said, "John," he said, "there was a great star in heaven, but it fell down to the earth." And he shows it in vision how that it fell to the earth. And he said it was called wormwood. And he said this great star that was one time in heaven that fell down to the earth, he said it fell upon the third part of the waters, and the waters became bitter. We spoke the other night how that waters represent people, how that the water flows through the earth, and how the Spirit flows through humanity, and how that it represents people. So here we see a fallen angel coming down from heaven that fell upon a third part of the people and caused them to become bitter. The Bible said, "Beware lest the root of bitterness springing up within you, thereby many be defiled." So then there's bitter people in the earth tonight. There's people that do not love God, that are spiritually bitter, that cannot find their way through this dark world. They don't see the light of God, and they don't have the revelation of God, and they're bitter within their souls, and you can't talk with them, nor you can't reason with them, because they become bitter. Why? Because it said when the star fell upon a certain part of the waters, it said that they became bitter. And it said if men drank of these waters, then they would die. Notice here, he said it was called wormwood, and it made a third part of the waters bitter. Why is it that God tells John that a third part of them was made bitter? Why is it that the Lord didn't let it just fall on many people and make them bitter? Because God works all things after the counsel of his own will, and he doesn't allow anything at all to go contrary to his way or his will. And he wanted to represent a certain thing. It had to pattern out a certain thing. Now then, do you think that it would just be coincidental that a star would fall from heaven and just get a third part of the waters? Or it would fall from heaven and just get a third part of the trees? Do you think it's coincidental that the Bible said a third part of the sun was smitten, or a third part of the moon was smitten, or a third part of the stars was smitten? No, it's God working in His own fashion, in His own way, from His foreordination plans. God is working here according to His foreknowledge, and He lets us see what took place in heaven by showing us the natural things. Here we see how He said that a third part of the sun was smitten. When was the third part of the sun smitten? Then He said a third part of the moon was smitten, and so forth. In other words, dealing with the light. Here He's speaking of a third part of the Godhead. That's the thing He's dealing with here. A third part of the Godhead was smitten. The Bible said we esteem Jesus smitten of God. He was bruised for our iniquity and our transgression, and the chastisement of our peace was upon Jesus Christ. In other words, He's trying to show us that because of sin and iniquity, that a third part of the great light of heaven had to be smitten, that a third part of the world would fall into darkness. And here He said a third part of the stars was smitten, which showed that also a third part of the angelic world was smitten. That Revelation says the great red dragon, he wrapped his tail around a third part of the stars, and a third part of the stars was cast down to earth. And the Bible said he trampled upon a third part of the stars, which means the angelic spirits. Now we brought it out a time or two, how that in one world which is spiritual, a third part of the angels failed, that in the physical realm, a third part of the angelic spirits failed, and within the natural realm, the very same thing happened, because God works in a triune manner, and everything He does in the natural, He does in the physical, everything He does in the physical, He does in the spiritual, and all three of these things run side by side, showing that within the earth there is three people that must carry out the plans and types and shadows of Almighty God. So then we see here, the Bible said a third part. Let's read it again here. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers, and upon the fountain of waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. And the third part of the waters became wormwood. And many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. And the fourth angel sounded. And the third part of the sun was smitten. And the third part of the moon. And the third part of the stars, so as the third part of them was darkened. And the day shone not for a third part of it. And the night likewise. So then we see that according to this, that the light which had one time been the light of the world, that a third part of that great spiritual light was smitten as it hung there on Calvary. And the Bible said a third part of that light was completely put out, inasmuch as God had to clothe Himself in the robe of humanity and come down here and die for the sins of humanity and suffer death at the hand of men. The Bible likens it unto the great light that we brought out the other night when it said the sun became as dark as sackcloth of hair, and the moon turned to blood. And the Bible said the stars fell from heaven and fell into the earth. So then we see here that the Bible said a third part of them was smitten, and the day shone not for a third part, for the light had become darkened as far as a third part of it. What does it mean? God is pointing us on here to a time when there's going to be a tribulation, when the Jews are actually going to stand and see the stars fall from heaven, when they'll actually see these things come to pass, when there'll be a natural thing that'll take place. But for the spiritual elect of God, it's taking place right now. And God is speaking to our hearts and speaking to our lives and showing us the spiritual revelation of Jesus Christ. Oh, I can understand to save my life how that anybody can walk with Jesus and walk with God and say that the days of revelation have gone past and there's no more understanding in the spiritual. Surely, surely, a person must be blind to talk like that. I tell you, when a man stays with God, when he walks with God, he sees the glory of God. And the Bible said, he that abideth in the shadow of the Almighty shall dwell in the secret place of the Most High. There's a secret place that we can get in. There's a covert from the storm, and we can hide away within Christ Jesus and feel the blessings of God and the Holy Spirit moving within our midst, and the great wonderful revelations of Christ bubbling up as a fountain within our innermost being and stirring this outer man unto the perfection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So then, we notice here that the Lord is pointing us to a time when the Antichrist will come into the world. He's pointing us to an hour of darkness. I remember a number years ago, I told my wife and my dad-in-law, I said, I want to go pray. I said, we here at your house and the wife will be taken care of. I said, if you would, I'd love for you to take me back off in the woods over here. So it was, he took me back off in the woods and got way back out in the forest there, away from people, way out in the country, and got by myself, and I asked him to put me out about 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and of course, him being carnal mind, he didn't understand that. But anyway, I got out there, and I began to talk with God, and I noticed that night, I noticed that the moon began to go across the heavens there, and how wonderful it was that when everything was dark all around me, nobody there, how wonderful it was to find just one little bit of light in that darkness that would keep my attention, to quieten the thoughts of fearfulness and all of those things that might be creeping around me. And there, just seeing that one light up there, it meant something to me. Long in the wee hours of the morning, there about the time the dew was beginning to fall, I looked, and there's an old saying, at the darkest part of the night is just before the dawn. I never knew what that meant, but that night I began to watch, and as the moonlight began to go out, I noticed that the sunlight had never come up, and it was a dark time because there was no light from the moon, and yet the sunlight had not come up, the morning had not broke, and I noticed that there was a dark, dismal hour in there. I began to look for a light. Everything got very dark, and I couldn't find a light, but at that very hour it came. I looked back over the trees, and there came out over the horizon. I looked, and there came a great big star. Right in that hour when the moon was gone and the sun had not yet arisen, there came the star that Elias had said was his star. And in that dark hour of tribulation, the Holy Spirit said, when there will be no church light because it will be gone away in the rapture, and the great light of the millennium will not have yet dawned. But he said in that hour, he will stand up for his people and he will fight for his people in that hour. And that great star shall appear and come on the scene, and we'll be able to have light in the darkest hour that the world had ever seen here. We are moving toward the tribulation. The Antichrist is moving in all around us. A lot of people say, well, I don't see that, Brother Pine. Not too long ago, I talked to a Russian Jew. That Jew explained to me how that Russia was a free nation, but it said communism moved in. And overnight, said communism took over, and their nation was no longer free. And he said, America, he said, I warn you. He said, you may think that there's nothing to bother you. He said, but communists is on your trail, and already they're standing on the verge of conquest and ready to take over this country that you call America. He told me, he said that overnight it happened. Remember, I spoke the other night how that the other side of the waters in its state of perversion shows heaven. How that Jerusalem sits back there as a type of the great sunlight in the state of perversion. How that Rome sets across the waters as a type of the moon, the church of the tribulation or the darkness that lifts the light to rule the night. And then explain Carefully how that the stars were sitting around it. All of those nations back in there represent the planets and the stars. And here it said a third part of the stars have fell from heaven. Said that the dragon wrapped his tail around the third part of the stars and cast them down to the earth. And I spoke of how that great dragon communism, we call them red communists, how that it's going through the land and it's gradually wrapping itself around those people in that country, and especially the black people, especially them that have no knowledge, which typify the stars of darkness or the wandering stars that have no light. Those innocent people, yet as far as people are concerned, but in types and shadows, having no spiritual revelation of civilization, they are helpless, and they come in there with the doctrines of communism, and that evil power is wrapping itself around a third part of them, as we say. Why? Because it wants to cast them down to the earth and dominate them through a policy called all things common. I realize tonight that Antichrist, he is coming in, and he must be a type of everything that Christ was ever in his lifetime. Or that is to say, because there is a spiritual world, there must be a counterpart of that spiritual world, which is exactly like that spiritual world, except it is called anti, which means a type of, or just the opposite of. And so then if there is a Christ, there has to be a type of Christ. If there is a red dragon, there has to be a type of the red dragon. If there is a policy at Pentecost called all things common, then there must be a power called communism, which is a type of it. And if there is a religion called a oneness, then there must be a universal type of it. For the word universal means one, or Catholic means one. There must be an anti-church to take over this anti-world with an anti-rule and an anti-policy to take the anti-people or the anti-Christians and dominate them to show what God is doing yonder in that spiritual world. I realize that we're getting real close to the end of the world. The hours of tribulation are here. The time of Jacob's trouble is at hand. The dark hours is beginning to fall down upon us. And we see, I made the statement here the other night. I never did go into it, but I'd love to say this tonight. A lot of people don't believe that Antichrist is getting a hold. When God spoke to me in California for about a week there, it was sometimes as high as 5 to 8 hours a day or more that the Holy Spirit kept talking to me day after day, until finally I said, God, I cannot bear it any longer. I said, my heart cries out for spiritual revelation. I said, my mind, God, cries out to know about thee. I said, but God, I cannot stand it any longer because of my physical weaknesses. I said, you've got to help me, and you've got to strengthen me in the Holy Spirit. Let up for a season, and then fell back down upon me later over in Mississippi and began to talk to me again. And I love to talk with him so much until I just don't have any stopping sense or reasoning. I'd rather talk with God than do anything in this world, because I love God. I love his conversation. I love the thoughts of God. And David said his thoughts are great multitudes of thoughts to me, and there's nothing to be compared with him. And so then I said the other night, I see him in the stars. When I look at the stars, I see him in the stars. When I look at the heavens, I see him in the heaven. When I look at the trees, I see him by revelation in the trees. When I see a human being, I see him in his life. And David said, if I ascend into heaven, he's there. If I make my bed in hell, he's there. If I take the wings of the morning and go to the uttermost parts of the earth, he's there. That's why the writer said he's the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley, the bright in the morning star that they sprang from on high. That's this that his people, he said to you, that said in the regions of the shadow of death, there is a revelation, he said, or there is great life that has sprang up to you and I, that we don't have to die. And so that is here, we see that the Antichrist is now moving in, and though we don't feel like he's conquering yet, let me remind you, Daniel said he would change the times and the seasons. Already we've got a Catholic calendar. Check history and you'll find out that he's already got everything out of date. Why would he change the times and the seasons, Brother Pike? Because he knows that God works in types and shadows, and if he can throw the seasons out of order or the types and shadows out of order, the Bible scholars or those that are known of God won't be able to find their way up through this darkness. But Daniel said they would understand. They shall rise up and they shall overcome. And the Bible said they that shall not understand shall perish in an hour. But I want you to know something tonight, that we are able to stand up before this great power, and we're able to see where he's changed these things by the word of God, because God foretold us that he would. How he's changed the dates, and we've got a Catholic calendar, but that isn't all. At this ecumenical council not too long ago, he made the statement he wanted to change the calendar again. He still wanted to change the time and the season. And the Bible, speaking of his number being 666, it speaks of the time when he will cause every creature in the earth, both rich and poor alike, to take the number of the beast. I used to say, God, how can he do it? How can one individual force a rich man to come under his control and take the mark? But the Holy Spirit knows. When the Holy Spirit says it, it's truth. As Brother Malinowski said tonight, his word is truth. Whatever he says, it's just exactly the way. And he said it in here. He spoke of him causing the rich and the poor. Then God spoke to me and he said, son, he told me in California, he said the foreign nation would cash in their currency because the currency of America would become worthless, not having any gold backing. And it happened just like he said after he spoke to me. It came to pass. Remember the papers carried and I spoke of it. But remember this one thing, that the money which is worthless, that's still in circulation today. You're using it, I'm using it, and all the world is using it. But when they find out that it's of no good, that it's of no value, that there's nothing to back it up anymore, then they're going to throw their money to the bats. And we brought it out the other night, how that bat appeared in Life magazine, how that this bat cave, they're fixing to put it on the mouth, which shows they're getting ready to throw their money to the bats. Now, I know that in the natural we speak of money, but in the spiritual, money means your life. It means your spirit. They're getting ready to give their very life or their very spirit or their very substance, like the prodigal son. They're getting ready to give it to the devils and demons of this world, ready to throw it to the bats. The money of this world is worthless. I told some men not too long ago, I got into an office there, and it was about 8 or 10 men sitting in there. And I was speaking to them about the revelation of the Antichrist. And I said, I made the statement according to the Holy Spirit that he'd come to America around 66. I said, and he came. And I said, God showed me how that the Republican government would soon go out, how that the Democratic government would soon go out. I got a chart drawn of it, just like the Holy Spirit showed it. And I showed my wife. I said, babe, I can show you both plans. And I said, it doesn't matter which one they go under. Either one of them will soon bankrupt America. And I showed her step by step how it would be done. And I said, and then the foreign policies will come in here with the gold coverage that they've gotten from America and pay off the national indebtedness and take over this world. What is it? We are right in the end of the world. The money is now worthless. Our medium of exchange is now worthless. Yeah, I got some statistical reports at home that the Holy Spirit put in my hand after he gave me revelation, told me it was worthless, and showed me by spiritual revelation it was, and then sent me a statistical report how that it was absolutely worthless, that there's no gold coverage behind it, that it is a money that's of no value to the people. It's not good for medium of exchange anymore. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me along about this past Thanksgiving, and he said, you go get your yearbook. I never had a yearbook before. It always wanted one. Don't cost but a dollar or two, but sometimes a dollar or two to an evangelist really means something. So while we were over in Port Oklahoma, I was uptown, and I looked, and there was a yearbook right before me. You know, isn't it wonderful that when God gets ready to do anything, he'll bring it to pass, Brother Jimmy, just like he wants it. And so it was. I couldn't do nothing but buy the yearbook. I didn't even stop to consider my financial expense or anything. I just said, I want the yearbook. I feel like I've got to have it. So I got it. And then here a few weeks and months ago here, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, go there and check your yearbook. I went over and checked the yearbook, and I began to just thumb through it, and I run across a place about the movie stars, and one of the most shocking things I think I seen while I was running through there was the fact that Dale Evans and Roy Rogers is 60 years old. I didn't know that. They looked young to me, but I found out that that wasn't what God wanted me to see. I just scanning through there, and the Holy Spirit said, just keep looking, and I began to run across across things about Kennedy. After a while, I run across something about the Liberty Bell and began to reminisce a little in history how they came over in the Mayflower, landed up here near Plymouth Rock, and how that everything that God had set it up in types and shadows, he began to bring all those teachings back to my mind. And then God began to speak to me, and he said, "Son, in the early history of America," he said, "devout men and women came together in a constitutional effort," and he said, "they pooled their money and nobody said anything that they had was their own," just like in the early church. He said, "but they pledged their riches, they pledged their support and everything within them to the building up and the welfare of this great nation that God had given them." He said, "and because of this," he said, "America became a stockholding nation. It became a nation which is called a capitalist nation." In other words, each man had a right to capitalize. He had a right to save up a dollar or two, or he had a right to get somewhere in the world. And it wasn't like the old world where a king ruled over them and everything belonged to the king. I believe in the plan of all things common. As long as Jesus Christ is the king at the head of it, it'll work. But brother, I want you to know that when you got Antichrist at the head of it and you got a policy of communism, it won't work. When everything belongs to the government, you're getting free. Medical aid and all of these other things, you'll find out it won't work, because you'll be a slave to iniquity. I learned, as Christ spoke to me many, many things, I learned this one thing, that it was a stockholding nation where every man could be independent and have a part in the economy of America. But God spoke to me and he said, "Son, it's no longer that way." He said, "The money's become worthless." He said, "The Jews," and he gave me the revelation. He said, "The Jews that's walked through this land having no certain dwelling place like Abraham was," he said, "they could not buy here, nor they could not dwell here, because like Germany, they killed them out and they persecuted them from place to place. But it was God's great spiritual plan for them to do that. God kept moving them on so that they take the money and take that valuable currency, because God knew one day he's going to make the money worthless. So he made the Jew get that valuable currency while it was like that, and caused the Catholic people of the Antichrist to set up a system to pay people out of purgatory and get that money that was not worthless, and that dollar bill that had a silver coverage that said that on demand this $1 bill is payable. If you go and demand, you can get gold or silver coverage for it, because it's covered by gold or silver. But God caused Antichrist to get it, and they gathered it all together. The Jews got part of it, Antichrist got part of it, and then in this last hour, God caused the earth to begin to be filled with worthless money. And now you know, and I know too, just like I told these men in that office, I said, "Check your dollar bills." And I said, "I dare say that out of the 10, 11, ever how many is in here, I say that there's nobody here, not as much as one silver certificate." And so it stirred them up, because there was a few hungry, money-loving people there, and they began to check their dollar bills. And just as I had said, not one of them had a silver certificate that had any backing to it, but every one of them was Federal Reserve notes that was no better than the government. Remember, when Antichrist comes in, and we believe in church and separation of state, but when Antichrist comes in with their church over state system, they're going to be the government, and they're going to take control of that money, and that money's going to be just as worthless as the government is. You're going to be under the control of Antichrist, and the number 666, he's going to slip right in. How will he make the rich man take it? Because the rich man's money will be worthless, and your money will be worthless, and there's nothing that you can do about it except out of the government if you ever expect to have bread to eat. Why? You say, "Oh, they can't do that." One time, Roosevelt told him, said, "If you rich men don't turn loose your money," said, "I'll change the currency and make it worthless." And brother, they begin to turn loose some of their money. You remember how that now, right now, in this very age, we've got money that we can look back on that's called Confederate money. This last money that we've got is absolutely Confederate. It's a Confederate money, Brother Jimmy, and there's going to be a new system. You just wait and see. And I don't care how much of a capitalist you was in the past, how much of a stockholder you was in the gold yonder, when you could take and save $1,000 and say, "I've got $1,000 stock in the gold bullion, and I'm a stockholder, and I'm part of the government. I'm a voice that can cry out and demand my rights." I don't care how much you've had in the past. You ain't no stockholder no more. You ain't got no control no more. What is it? Satan is slipping in to take control of your lifeline and medium of exchange so that he can force you to go under the one Catholic religion, which you know and I know, most of you know, the Pope is the Antichrist, and you know that he's carrying the number 666 right now. Vicarious filia diabolica, a lot of you know about it, how the Roman numerals mean 666, and he's got it right now. And the Bible said he'll put it down through the denominational powers, and into their headquarters he'll place the number 666, and it'll be handed down in local headquarters, and then it'll come right on down into the individual's head, and they'll pound it away until they drill that individual until he doesn't know anything except that Catholic mark and that Catholic name. Anybody opposing that will be counted heretics. It was in the dark age, and they'll kill them out. But why? You say, Brother Pine, how can they do that? Because it won't be a violation of church order anymore. It'll be blasphemy against the government. And brother, you go against the government today and see what they do to you. It'll be a governmental offense. Daniel, I said here the other night, Daniel didn't do anything wrong. The Hebrew children didn't do anything wrong. There wasn't any laws for them to transgress. But brother, they never rested till they passed laws and forced them into a transgression. It's either yield up to them or it's a going of God. Now then, let's look at it just a little more here from a spiritual aspect. What does it mean? In other words, what does that mean? That the Jews taking all the money over there in the natural, we see that happening. But in the spiritual aspect, it means this one thing. After God told me that they'd cash in the currency, you remember how Johnson got frustrated, got upset, and tried to salvage the gold and started trying to salvage the silver and even wanted to change the gold coverage or the capital of the United States because he was so upset. But you remember how that right now the quarters, they've taken some of the silver out of the quarters and that copper is beginning to show up. Now, I don't know tonight whether you know anything about the revelation of metals or the revelation of colors or anything like that or not, but everything in earth speaks to you about God and understanding those things. I realize that withholding that silver indicates a false priesthood. That is, they take the silver out of those quarters or half a dollars or whatever it is, and the copper begins to show up in it. It means that you're receiving a false priesthood. He said, I'll purge the sons of Levi like silver. And we are receiving a false priesthood. It means that God is withdrawing the real true faith, which he said was like gold tried in the furnace. This word of God, or our faith must be backed up, or the word must be backed up by the faith of Jesus Christ. But if we as spiritual Jews who can find no continuing city here, if we just move along and as we take the word of God, we get all the true faith, we work for God, labor for God, live right until we salvage and gather all the capital of mankind, which is the true faith of Jesus Christ, and then when we get that, there won't be nothing left but a counterfeit priesthood. They can holler miracles if they want to. They can shout and dance if they want to. They can preach this word if they want to. But brother, just like the Jews got all the gold and made the currency worthless, when we get the true faith that was delivered unto the saints and we salvage it all and we gather it all and go back into our spiritual land just like the Jews returned to theirs, and God calls us into those heavenly places, the priesthood of this world will be worthless. It won't be nothing but just a lot of going on, and there won't be any faith to back up what they're saying. It's a counterfeit priesthood, but we've got the goods. What will we do? Just like they're doing in the natural, that after they fumbled around here about 3.5 years in the darkness and they can't find their way, then we'll come back with Christ upon the white horses to ride through this earth with power and with that real gold coverage of faith. We'll come back and pay the national indebtedness off and take control of this world and rule it with a rod of iron as the sons of God. You say, can we do it? We're going to do it. By the help and grace of Jesus Christ, we're going to do it. God is trying to show us tonight that Antichrist is ready to come in. And I predict that in the middle of this year, he'll begin to exercise his authority. I believe that with all my heart. I made the statement here the other night that I believe that Billy Graham is the false prophet of Revelation that'll work hand in hand with the Antichrist, and I don't withdraw it. Though I realize that Brother Branham spoke of him as being one of the angels that went down in Sodom and Gomorrah. I'm not trying to cross what the prophet says. I'm just telling you what I see in the understanding of the Lord according to what I see. And I believe Brother Branham's message, I believe what he stands for. But Brother Branham, he believed that Billy Graham was anointed of God and believed that Billy Graham was coming out. But just before his death, they told me, said Brother Branham changed his mind. Said he decided he didn't know whether Billy Graham was coming out or not because of the way he was doing. And I made the statement here the other night how his own mother said, I don't know what's happened to my boy Billy. What is it? This Black Mountain station, I don't know whether it's true or not, but they tell me he's got a radio station over here on Black Mountain. Oh, isn't that a perfect thing? The voice of darkness speaking to the world. Can't you see that? Types and shadows and spiritual revelation. And down at the foot of the mountain lays the ashes. They call it. I know you say, Brother Pike, you're getting beside yourself. No, I know what I'm speaking of. God shows us the spiritual by the natural. And there at the foot of the Black Mountain lays the city that's called. You know the name of it. You've been over there. But I refer to it as the ashes around the foot of the mountain. All these other things like Bat Cave being down here, the Smoky Mountains being up here, I understand those things by spiritual revelation. What is it? Antichrist is coming in. He's beginning to set up his kingdom and everything is just set just right. God chose Canaan land in Egypt because everything was laid out according to his order to bring about types and shadows. Oh, I'll tell you, we're living in an age wherein the wisdom, the manifold wisdom of God in heavenly places is now made known to the saints of God. The mind of Jesus Christ is now freely given unto all men that we can fathom the depths and the heights and the width and see what God's doing by just looking around us. Well, I know that I'm going to have to close, but I want you to stand with me. There are so many things that I'd love to say. I'd love to got into Elijah's drought tonight concerning the tribulation. It comes right in, But here I appreciate you staying with me this long and bearing with me as you have. Bow your heads with me, children of God, if you will. I'm here tonight. Now you say, Brother Pike, what are you? John said, I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Prepare ye the way of the Lord and make his path straight. We are nothing but a voice tonight. We're just people that stand crying out to the world, and the flesh profiteth nothing. But the voice within us is Jesus Christ, the trump of God, and everyone that hears it shall live. For the trump of God is sounding through the land, which is Jesus Christ, and the dead in Christ is beginning to be raised, and those that hear his voice shall live and come forth in the power of the translation and the resurrection of life. I'm glad tonight to be here and have a chance to speak to you as brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. Just to have a chance to do a little bit before the coming of the Lord. And I'm thankful tonight for this revival and the way that you stood with us. I think you've done real good. You've listened every night. You've drawn on the Spirit of God, and I thank God that you've done that. I appreciate it. And I say this tonight that everything we preach this week is on tapes. And you can get the tapes if anybody says, Brother Pike said one thing and you don't believe it, just get the tapes. And that way you can prove it. There's nothing to hide. Nothing done in the dark, it won't come to the revelation or the light after a while. So I've got nothing to hide. I'm just trying to do the will of God. Now I want the sister to come to the piano, if she will. And I, just before we dismiss tonight, this being the last night of revival, I want to pray for the sick tonight. I want to give you a chance tonight to come. The Bible said that the prayer of faith shall save the sick. The effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much. And he said the believer shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And I believe it. I preach it. I practice it, and I've seen it many times as I've traveled over the country. Though I believe with all of my heart, as you heard me preach the other night, that this is the age wherein God is working miracles in the spirit. First, remember I said in the natural, then in the physical, and then in the spiritual. It's on tape if you ever want to check it. But I believe this is the age to where he's working miracles in the spirit by spiritual revelation. So then I believe that even though we pray for the sick, we should, because there are still people that need to be healed. And we should pray for them because these signs will follow the believers. We ought to do that. But I believe that we ought to recognize our age and recognize our jobs and be about our Father's business.